Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First United Methodist Church Kemp, as well as Becker United Methodist Church in Becker community worship, online worship that we're doing in wake of the coronavirus outbreak here, this pandemic that is impacting the world. Please comment that you're here with us this morning. It is good to see you guys. I wish we could be face-to-face, as I'm sure you guys do as well. It is one of those things that, for now, cannot be avoided, or must be avoided, I should say. So for now, to keep each other safe, we will continue to worship online here in Facebook Live world. And today is Palm Sunday, so if you have some palms, I hope you're parading around this morning as you're singing out, "Sing Hosanna, Sing Hosanna." Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings, I think is the way that goes, right? And it's from that wonderful song that we know about, "Give Me Oil in My Lamp," and that is the chorus that we love to sing as we have the children process in and waving their palm branches and making their way around the sanctuaries. And it's just a wonderful thought and a memory, and we'll get more into that in a little bit. But I do want to welcome everyone here today. I hope you've seen the emails. I did send out a late email that had an order of worship. It's not exactly correct because, as I do, I always forget something, it seems like. And I forgot this most wonderful, important piece that I wanted to add this week. And for this week only, we have this opportunity. The bishop has given us authority to, or permission, I should say, to use our our liturgy for Holy Communion. So we will be closing with Holy Communion after the pastoral prayer, and then we'll have a benediction, and we'll go forth after that moment. So that is the one little change I need to bring your attention to, and I hope you stick around long enough and join us in those moments. I hope you have your bread and your juice ready, and it could be any kind of, you know, wafer or cracker and juice. The elements that we'll do today, or as we use today, will be what we use not only today, but on the Maundy Thursday evening service that we plan, and also on next Easter Sunday morning. We'll use again some. So I hope you have enough to make those three commitments to having our worship combined with the communion. So good to see everyone this morning. I love the comments. Here my wife is with us. Our children are waking up. I know that's sad, but that's true. And they are going to join us here in a little bit when we get ready for communion as well. With all that, if there are birthdays and anniversaries, I apologize. I did not look those up this morning or this week. So if you have one, you can post a comment and we'll say happy birthday to you, and also happy anniversary. If not, we'll also make sure that those are published in our weekly updates that Mr. Jim sends out, Dr. Jim, so we appreciate him for doing all that. If there's nothing else, which is funny, I say it that way, I still do that as if we're face-to-face, but it's good times. I'll open us with our centering words, and then Kim will join us. And if you have your order of worship, if you were able to get a copy of that, I also copied it in Facebook. We will do the call and response as well, moving into the call of worship and begin our worship service this morning. So let me start with our invitation or our centering words. On the back of a humble donkey, Christ looks beyond the shouts of Hosanna in the highest. He is traveling a slow journey to the cross, and he will pay the price of turning the tables on the money changers, upsetting the status quo, and living authentically before God. Will he travel the road alone? Our call to worship. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Let's rejoice and be glad in it.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. God's steadfast love endures forever. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Bind the festival procession with branches. Jesus is the gate of the Lord. The righteous enter through him. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we'll continue with our opening prayer. Blessed one, we are humbled by your example. You entered Jerusalem in lowly estate, riding on a donkey. You emptied yourself and came as a servant to all, forsaking the power to command. Son of David, come to us now and be our king, that we too may sing our hosannas. Amen. Amen, amen. And continuing with our affirmation of faith, it is the Apostles' Creed. If you know it by heart, which I know many of you do, please recite along with us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And Kim's going to now bring us our children's message. So if the kids are available, bring them up close so they can hear.
Hi, everyone. It's been another week, and I just want to talk to you today about settling in. So last week we talked about how you might be sad and kind of going through all these changes, and it was okay for that. But now it's time to kind of settle into our new rhythm and, you know, go on our next phase of this journey. We learn every week or so about how much longer it's going to be, and this time we heard it's going to be quite a while. So now it's time to change and to get settled and to learn about how we're going to handle this going forward. So just because school is not there, that we're not going to the building, we still have school, we still have homework, we still have assignments, we still get to see our teachers. The same is true with church. Just because we're not going to church doesn't mean we get to go on vacation and not be Christian for a month. We still have to be disciples. We still have to do the things we're supposed to do. And so part of that is to think about the five things that we say we're going to do as Methodists, which we're going to pray, we're going to be present, we're going to give service, we're going to tell others about it, and, you know, we're going to give our gifts. So remember that just because we're not going to church in a building, we need to still do everything and settle into our new system and way of living. So I want you guys to start with prayer this week and think about how you can continue to pray and keep going through. One thing I've been doing is that, you know, you have to wash your hands for 20 seconds. And I happen to time it. And if you say the Lord's Prayer, it's about 24 seconds. So you and your parents can help you if you don't know all the words, but it's a great time to use this time to learn. That once a day, I'd like for you guys to wash your hands and say the Lord's Prayer as you're doing it. Not only will it help you pray more, but also maybe when we get back together, you guys can show me how you've memorized the Lord's Prayer. I would love to see that from you guys. So let's stay strong, stay here. Remember that we're still disciples and that God never gives up on us. It's a great thing about God. No matter what's happening, God is always there with us. So a long time ago, I went on this trip, and it was called Emmaus, and it was a weekend. And at the very end, they give you something, and they say, Christ is counting on you, and you answer, and you say, and I am counting on Christ. So let's say a prayer, okay? Yeah. Dear God, we thank you so much that you are always there, whether it's a building or nature, our family, you're always with us. So today, let us say, Christ is counting on you. And yes, we are counting on Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kim. She's going to step away and finish preparing our wonderful communion elements and also probably just listen into the video of our message. It's good to see more people have joined along with us, Jackie and Ellerine and some of the others that have just joined as we've gotten our service up and running this morning. So I thank you all for being available to us. Our scripture passage today is from Matthew 21. It is Matthew 21, 1 through 11, and I'll read it from the New Revised Standard Version. You can follow along. It doesn't really matter which version you have or translation you have, but they're all pretty similar. Sometimes the words are a little bit different here and there, and I'm going to point out one of those differences here in a little bit when we get into the message. So here's the word. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that had followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. I think this week, as we can attest, this is Palm Sunday, and we are entering Holy Week. And as we enter Holy Week, we think about the things that are going to come up, right? We kind of think about, you know, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and even Easter. But this is the culmination or the ending of this preparation time of Lent. And as we enter this week, you know, it's fitting that our text today is where we find Jesus in the narrative of him entering into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And I know we want to kind of contemplate the things that are ahead of us, right? The things to come, Easter and Good Friday and Maundy Thursday. There's a lot of things that we can anticipate coming this week. But I want us to encourage ourselves to really not anticipate too much and really just kind of consider today's passage on its own, about being Palm Sunday and this thought of Jesus entering into the city. So this is a narrative that I hope we all find familiar to us. It is one that I remember, as I was talking about a little earlier, when I was a young child, I remember my parents would take us to church, and we were Episcopal. We went to Episcopal church then. But growing up in the Episcopal church in Southern California, where and even East Texas, where we moved to when I was about eight, I remember the children would process in, just like we do here at our local congregation, you know, with the palm branches, and you'd have a branch in each arm and hand, I mean, and you'd be waving them up and down like you're flying, kind of thing. And you wave the palm branches, and you kind of parade around the choir and the congregation is singing, you know, that Sing Hosanna song I was kind of mentioning earlier. And it is this thought, I remember doing that as a child, and then what's funny is I remember doing the same thing as a younger adult, or at least younger than I am now, when Kim and I started bringing our children to church, and we started kind of finding our faith and figuring out what it meant to follow God. And every Palm Sunday, the same thing. And I don't want to say it like it doesn't mean something to us, because I know those memories are near and dear to my heart, and I'm sure they are to yours as well. And you could probably think back to your own children or the children of the church as you've been a member, and watching those faces may have changed over the years as some children age out and we get new kids that are coming in and along and growing up in the church. And this thing and thought about, I remember thinking as a young child, even as a young adult, and even today, when I hear this scripture, I think about, you know, what it must have been like to be a part of those crowds, to really be there where Jesus is riding on the back of a donkey and just coming down this, I imagine, this narrow village-type road and making his way into the big city of Jerusalem. And there we are in the crowd, and we're, you know, we're singing and shouting loud hosannas, right? Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven, we would yell. And just cheering and going along with these throngs of people. If we were part of that group, we would have been that group that had been following him as he went around from region to region and kind of seeing how Jesus is teaching this kind of countercultural message of a way to live the Torah rather than just simply observing the Torah, right? Simply following the laws, but he was translating it into a way that we should be actually living out those, what it means to be Jewish, actually, is the way he would have been teaching, right? What really it meant to be a child of God and a child of the light, some of the messages that we've heard over these past few weeks. And this group would be gaining numbers every day, right? This is how it was. You know, there's the stories of feeding the 4,000, the 5,000, the Sermon on a Mountain, and the crowds are becoming larger and larger. And even as Jesus is traversing across the Sea of Galilee back and forth, the people are going around the shoreline and they're still catching up to him. And those crowds are continuing to grow as he moves from place to place and region to region along the line, making his way up into Jerusalem. And that's where we meet him today, right? He's here in this, he's coming into Jerusalem, and it is this exciting time where it's like a parade. You ever been, let me put it this way. Since I've been working downtown in downtown Dallas, I've seen many a parade, starting way back in I think the very first parade I can remember in 1999 when I first went down there was when the Stars won the Stanley Cup. And they had the parade for when the cup came home. And if you're a hockey fan, it was a pretty big deal. There was, I would say, no less than 100,000 people lining all the streets as the parade route. And here's, you know, we're cheering this hockey team. I can imagine it's very similar like that, as maybe not 100,000 people, but quite a few large numbers of people cheering on as Jesus is coming down this, you know, this into the city and making his way into the city center. And people are, you know, singing the loud hosannas, and Jesus is coming along. And there's this thought about what was going on in the city, right? Because when we think about what goes on in the city, even those parades that I'm talking about now in downtown Dallas, there is some turmoil, right? There is some upsetting or stirring up of the normal routine of the city, because folks are being pulled or pushed to go another direction. They may not be familiar with some of the one-way streets that you have to traverse when you have to take a detour because some of the other streets are closed that you normally drive on. And so it can cause quite a bit of turmoil and ruckus, and it upsets the folks. And here we are now. Let's equate that to what's going on 2,000 years ago. There's this big throng of folks coming into Jerusalem. And it's a time where a lot of people are coming into Jerusalem because they're getting ready for Passover and that festival. And so there's a lot of people that are coming and migrating into the city to celebrate the Passover coming up. And as they get prepared for that, and as they're coming in and getting, accommodations made and everything getting set up, then this big group of folks come in, and it's got Jesus at the head of it. And the word that they use here in the NRSV was turmoil, right? The folks are moved to a point where they are questioning, right? Well, who is this? And the difference between the NRSV, they use turmoil. The other version that I have that I like to point to a lot is the NIV, and it uses the word stirred. They were stirred up or kind of being stirred up, right? Because there's this, you know, what is this ruckus? What is all this noise that's going on? And who is this person? And this is where it comes down to us for us to think about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, right? The crowds in this particular case, in today's narrative, they serve a different purpose than normal. Our crowds today are really kind of followers of Christ, right? They become this disciple type role in today's passage. Sometimes, though, in previous passages where we talk about Jesus is teaching the crowds and he starts getting opposition from some of those that are listening, right? Some of those folks that are listening from the crowds, they might be, scribes or Pharisees that are shooting back questions, trying to trip Jesus up and catch him. And so they were always at opposition in previous texts from Matthew. But here, the roles are kind of different. The crowd now is really kind of on Jesus' side. They're singing hosannas. They're talking about, blessed is the one who comes in the name of David, the son of David, and who comes in the name of the Lord. And these things that are being spoke about by the crowd is really this thought of people that are now following Jesus as opposed to in the past. And then the opposition comes from a place where we may not necessarily think it should come from, because it is the center of religious activity, right? This city center of that represents all those things is Jerusalem, where these folks are the hub of where God resides, right? In the temple. And they're the ones that are in turmoil. They're the ones asking, who is this? They're the ones asking, themselves, what the heck's going on here, right? And to quote it, it says, the whole city was in turmoil, or the whole city was stirred asking, who is this? And then they get the answer. And just like we get the answer when we have that encounter with Christ that first time, we're not sure who this is that's touching our heart or that's stirring our emotions in a way that we may not have felt in a long time or ever. And we get the answer and it says, this is Jesus. Just like those Jerusalem folk, Israelites is probably the best way to describe them. Some 2,000 years ago, they get that answer, this is Jesus. The prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, we would get it, this thought of, this is Jesus the Savior, right? The Messiah. And all of these things are true. And it is true that Jesus was a prophet. It is true that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. And so there's this thought, though, where you get caught up on some of the minutiae. And I always mention the little things that try to trip us up. And I feel like this might be one of those little things that might be tripping up the Israelite nation there, right? This center and hub of religious activity and knowledge and understanding there in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. And they get caught up on the thought of maybe it's the prophet. Only he's only a prophet. Well, then what does that matter? But we know that the disciples are pointing to him, and the folks that are following him are really saying more than that. They really believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And that is where we are today. And we need to think about this too in this way, right? When we get that answer about this is Jesus, this is the Jesus, or this is the Christ, we all have this to make a decision now. We all have to decide for ourselves what that means to us and what it means for us. Each one of us needs to make the choice as individuals about whether or not we want to make room for this Jesus, this to make room in our lives, and I don't mean just on our Sunday morning here streaming on Facebook or at church when we normally would gather together at our local congregations in our groups, but in our everyday life, what it means to be beyond our social media streams and beyond our Sunday morning rituals and habits, but this thought of really letting Christ in to be a part of our everyday, the day-to-day where we are up to our limit of social distancing, where we're to our limit of trying to distance learn with our children. That might be one of the biggest challenges for Kim and I, this distance learning. I know for some of the teachers that are online listening right now, I'm sure yours and my idea of what it means to distance learn or to teach someone has changed, because I'm sure there are challenges in teaching our own children, even for professionals, that they find more difficult than when it is to teach someone else's child. But my perspective of teaching has changed 100%. I'm a 180 from where I used to be. And certainly on my soapbox this morning, I would just want to say you're not paid near enough to educate children in today's society. And we need to correct that as soon as we can. I hope you agree, and because it is the challenge of trying to learn again. One of the hardest things I've been having to relearn and to help my son with is pre-calculus or trigonometry. And boy, that's a skill set that you don't want to let go if you want to come back and try to learn it again and try to teach somebody else, because that is some tough stuff. But I digress a little bit here. But these are our day-to-day lives, and these are where we find ourselves, and these are the moments where we're most tested about whether or not we're going to respond with Christ, whether or not we're going to answer that call of Christ in our hearts and continue to share Christ with others. In these moments where we have limited time out and we're worried about what might be going on in our social distancing rules, and that person's a little too close to me right now, how do we still share patience and show Christ when we try to ask them to observe those distances? Not because we're afraid of them, but more so just for public safety, right? We just want to keep everyone safe. These are things where it gets tough and it gets difficult to kind of deal with those new rules, these new social norms, and continue to be who Christ calls us to be. We find ourselves in that turmoil, that stirred up state. We're wondering if this person who's being taught or introduced to us, this Jesus, is really worth all the fanfare and the praise that he's being given. The crowds are giving him anyway. We question that. And we wonder to ourselves, is this really the Christ? If you're struggling with some of those things today that I've talked about, social distancing and where we are right now as a society, I completely understand that. As many of us are thrown in this boat, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, I'm an extrovert, so I like to recharge with people around me. An introvert likes to recharge without folks right next to them. And either way, it's fine. It doesn't really matter. But what matters is we all, whether you're introverted or extroverted, we all still need that connection with one another. We all still need to be able to reach out and talk to one another. We all still need to be able to share our problems and our burdens with one another and with God. And this is where I understand where being cooped up for so long, and as Kim alluded to earlier in her children's message, it might be even a little longer, several more weeks at that. We're separated from our loved ones, and that can be tough. And I want us to think about how we can still encourage one another and how we can connect with one another. There are platforms. There are what we're using today, Facebook Live. There is FaceTime. When you call somebody, I encourage you to use your video camera on your phone, on your smart device, and make that a FaceTime call where you guys can see each other as you're speaking. Skype and Zoom or other platforms that you could use. Being able to not only hear someone's voice, but to see their face, it really makes such a difference. My sister and I, who we're separated by more than just social distancing and what's going on, she lives in Vallejo, and the last few times I've talked to her, we've been using FaceTime, and it's really made a difference because I haven't realized how long it's been since I'd seen her face until we started doing the FaceTime call. This physical separation is the distance that makes it tough. And one of the ways we can get past that, or helps to get past that, is to actually see video of one another, right? See a picture of one another. So if we could do that when we're speaking, I want to encourage you to do that. The other thing that comes to mind is, as we're staying connected, this is how, by doing this, by calling each other, emailing, texting, video time or video calls and all those things, this is how we can bridge that gap where we are stuck in these silos of being cooped up individually. But this is how we can kind of bridge that gap. And staying connected during these times of physical separation is how we now gather and how we join together as the crowd. As the crowd of people from today's passage, right? It's how we can continue to come together, waving our palm branches, shouting out loud hosannas. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest of heavens. That's how we respond to that call, by gathering, even on social media platforms. When we can't be there physically, we're still the church. We're still here present, and God is still present with us as we gather in His name. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tithes and offerings, I want to remind us that we are still need of your support. We still have needs that we are committed to as the local congregation. I want to say a few things, and then I'm going to pray over the offering that is being sent to us or in by us to support the local churches, both Becker and First Kemp, but Becker United Methodist and First Kemp both. If you're a member of either of those, or you want to support either and you're not a member, please feel free to send any offering that you would like to the following addresses. For Becker UMC, it is P.O. Box 92 in Kemp, Texas, 75143. And then for First Kemp, it is First UMC Kemp, P.O. Box 327, also in Kemp, Texas, 75143. So you could use either of those depending on which church you support and which church your membership is with, obviously. And I encourage you to send in those offerings, and it is a way that we can continue to support the church and our connection with the United Methodist Church at this time. Kim's got a good point. Please enter your prayer concerns that you may have, as we did last week, using first name only when we get to that point. But for right now, let me start with a quick prayer over our tithes and offerings. So if you'll bow with me where you are, and let's offer up to God our gifts that we return to Him. Heavenly Father, we return to You now these gifts that You have given to us so abundantly. We return just a portion of what You have given out of Your abundance, which You have blessed us with so abundantly. Father, I ask that as we return these gifts to You, Lord, that You may continue to work Your majesty upon them, that they may be multiplied for Your great use, and for Your use here in this creation that You have given us, Lord, that they, through this connection with each other and through our connection with the local church, that we reach out and we can expand our footprint, Your footprint, I should say, throughout all the world, that everyone may know that You are God. We ask these things in Your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So yes, now we are to our time of pastoral prayer. So if you have prayer concerns that you would like to lift up, there are several ways. You submit in the comments here as we are going to be praying here in just a moment. As each name comes up, we will respond, Lord, hear our prayer, as you post your name. If you want to send something to us directly, you can send it through the Contact Us form that's on our website at First Kemp. If you're a Becker United Methodist person, you can still use the same contact form. It'll get to me, and I can make sure we make updates to our prayer concerns, our weekly prayer concerns, and get those published. So you can use that form. You can also email me directly at pastordavid@att.net. Yes. And our first prayer concern is here, and it is pray for all our church family. Lord, hear our prayer. Medical personnel, Lord, hear our prayer. Grocery workers and other people helping us get through this time, Lord, hear our prayer. I'd like to offer up my wife, Kim, and my son, Connor, who are both part of that grocery delivery service. Lord, hear our prayer. Lois, Lord, hear our prayer. If there are no others, we will let me close us in a word of prayer, and then we'll move into our teachers. Yes, Lord, hear our prayer. And the children, obviously, Lord, hear our prayer. And I'll close us with Joey, Lord, hear our prayer. Let me close, and as your names continue to come in, we continue to lift those up. I'm going to close us with a quick word of prayer, and then we'll move into the service of Holy Communion that Jim posted. We'll be using the word in Table 1, I believe. Heavenly Father, these names that we lift up as they continue to come in on our comments, Lord, I ask that you continue to pour out your blessings upon them. Father, you know the needs that are being lifted. You know the needs that are in our inner hearts and our thoughts. Father, I ask that you continue to lift up those names, even unspoken, Lord, that we lift those up to you, whether they're spoken or unspoken, and you provide what is needed. Lord, we know that many times in our lives we are struggling to think of what to say and how to say it. But Lord, I know the wonderful thing about our relationship with you is we don't really have to say anything, because as soon as we think the name, we speak the name, you know the need. And that's such a blessing to us. Lord, we ask these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll say the Lord's Prayer for our service of Holy Communion. So if you'll join me now in our service of Holy Communion, we have folks that are coming in to help us go along with our communion time. So if you have elements that you want to get ready, you want to go ahead and bring them in and place them here in front of you, and as we go through the liturgy, there's some important things that I want us to point out and think about as we go through the liturgy, what's important and why it's important, right? So there's some things that we need to know about what we're doing as Christians when we follow this particular service. There is, we're going to begin with the invitation, so we're going to invite people. We're going to also have a confession and pardon prayer. And then we're going to move into, excuse me, the Great Thanksgiving, where we then ask, give thanks to God for what is He has done. And then we will, after we get through the Great Thanksgiving, we will close with the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll go into the breaking of the bread. So those are the elements or pieces of the communion service that we need to consider, and the reasons behind that, right? So our invitation, let me start there. It is on page 7 of the hymnal. If you have one at home, I believe Jim sent the link that you could also follow along if you have clicked on that link. So I will invite us now. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. On page 8. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Continuing with the Great Thanksgiving on page 9. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Get a little. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we were turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with the people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce at the time he had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always and in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the whole world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Those who are assisting, please come forward. Thank you, ma'am.
And Mia is here. Feel free to say hi to her. She's a little camera shy, but she will be doing communion with us.
So we have a smaller version of our bread, and we will break that bread. And in the breaking of the bread, is this not a means of sharing? And we are sharing God's grace with one another, and I encourage you to do the same. And the cup we lift up is our wonderful cup of juice that we have for each individual here. I encourage you to also have the element of the bread and the wine that represent the blood and the body for us. The body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you. Mia, the body of Christ given for you. Thank you.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
If you could serve me.
David, the body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. We'll close with a prayer of thanksgiving for receiving, and then we will have a benediction, and I wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful week. So let's bow. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise your holy name for the gifts that you have given us here, this gift of grace that we receive through this connection that we have with you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he has made on that cross for us, that we now partake of the body and the blood here this morning. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful mystery that you have given to us. Father, we ask all the we ask these things and say thank you for these things in Christ's name. Amen. Mm-hmm. And Heavenly Father, be with us as we go forth and answer your call to be a part of the large crowd of disciples singing Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings. We ask these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for sharing this wonderful worship time with us. Again, please send any prayer concerns that you have to me directly or use our contact page. Again, my email is pastordavid@att.net, and I will respond accordingly. Thank you for everyone being here this morning. I pray for your families to be safe and keep you safe until we return and can be together again. Blessings.